Sorry. As Ken said earlier, we're going to be diving into the next chapter of Proverbs for the week, Proverbs 10. And as I'm sure you're aware, especially for those of you who have been coming consistently, Proverbs is a bit of a unique book. It's not like, you know, the Old Testament where it says a lot of recounting of history, or recounting the creation story, or recounting what happened in the past. It's not like, you know, the book of Psalms, where it's almost pure worship to the Lord. It's not like James, where it's very practical application, very easy to understand, or the Gospels, recounting Jesus' life here on earth. A lot of these books also have do this. We have the Great Commission or the Ten Commandments. We have the Bible saying go and do a lot of the time, not just recounting. Proverbs is a bit different though. There's no, or at least in chapter 10 at the very least, there's no go and do this. There's no this is what happened here. There's no, even though we know, or I think of the book of Proverbs as the book of wisdom, it doesn't even really say be wise. It just tells you what happens when you are wise, or contrarily, when you're foolish. And it kind of just puts it out there. This is what a wise person looks like, or this is what a foolish person looks like, or in chapter 10, it also focuses on what a righteous man looks like or what a wicked man looks like. Or another thing, what someone who's hardworking or someone who's sloth-like or lazy. Those are kind of the three main themes, but it never says be wise or be righteous or be diligent. It just leaves that up to us to make a choice of what we think is better for us and what we think we should be like if we're to honor God. And I think that reading the rest of the Bible, it will be apparent what we should be like, but that's not how Proverbs presents it. So let's read Proverbs 10, and then we'll get into it. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. I gave that verse as the memory verse for my Sunday school kids today. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be glad, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. So there were many, many kind of individual verses there, but there was a few commonalities. So the first quality or comparison that I want to talk about is the wise man versus the foolish. And there were many, many instances or verses throughout chapter 10 that mention the wise and the foolish. The first, especially for Mother's Day, is very pertinent. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And this isn't to say, or this doesn't explain what makes a son wise or foolish, but it says the consequences of it. I'm sure that everyone here who has children, their child has done something, whether it's taken their first step or said their first word or graduated high school or college or just, you know, got first in some athletic event or dance competition. And I know from my parents, and it's nice for a child here, but as well, parents will go to other parents and be like, oh, my son just did this, or guess what my daughter just did. And they're glowing. They're proud of their child and their child's accomplishments. And it's understandable. This is pretty much the hardest thing that they've ever done. The time that they've spent the most investing in probably our entire lives, maybe next to our marriage, for some of us who have been married 30 or 50 years here. But it's so rewarding, from what I can tell. I'm not a father, but being a child and seeing my dad light up at something I did or something my sister Sheena did is amazing. And then on the other times, when maybe I didn't do something so smart, and you could see him kind of just, that sigh of, now I have to go deal with this. Now I have to provide that correction or teach him that wisdom. But the wise child, and this isn't just for someone, you know, as young as that, or you know, new, maybe we still think of university students as our kids, but like, we're all children. We all have parents, and even the older ones here who still have parents alive, we still constantly bring them joy when we do wise things and when we follow God and his words. We still sometimes embarrass our parents alternatively. And then moving along a little bit, in verse 8, we see the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. And this is, you can kind of extrapolate what it means to be wise, or one aspect of wisdom. Someone who's wise accepts correction. We always, or oftentimes, a lot of societies think of elders in our community as the wise ones, the people that we go to for advice. I know the elders here at Bethel aren't particularly old, but they've experienced their years, and the longer that we're alive, if we are wise, hopefully we've been accepting all the correction that we've been given over the course of our lives. which probably means that the elders here have had their share of correction over the years. But they've been wise and listened to it. And throughout our entire lives, if we accept that correction humbly and apply it, we'll be exceedingly wise and knowledgeable by the end of our years. And I think that even as a young man, and even younger than me, like seeing Awana kids or seeing Sunday school kids, when they do something and you explain to them this is why it's wrong, and they realize it, and they stop doing it, I have a big respect for these kids, and I think these kids are wise. And it's weird to think of, you know, maybe a 10-year-old boy as wise, but when they accept correction, it's amazing, and this is what a wise person does. Whereas a prating fool, someone who just continuously drones on and on and on, no one wants to listen to them. No one wants to hear them. And it says they will fall. They will not be heard. They will not be the person we go to for advice. And it's unfortunate because they speak so much but say so little, or little worth listening to. Whereas if we go down and skip a few verses, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise people, once again, they've been looking for that knowledge, seeking it out. When they've been corrected, they've been given a little piece of knowledge, and they treasure it. They look at it and say, how can I apply this to me? They internalize it and try to remember it for a future where they can use it. That's why storing up knowledge is considered wise. Whereas the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Just like a prating fool will fall, this is someone who, they do not have that understanding. They will constantly be corrected over and over and over again, and to no effect. It's unfortunate. Verse 13 says, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. It's understandable that when we screw up, there are consequences. Usually, as a kid, it's, you know, you're grounded, or if you stayed out too late, then now you have a curfew, or whatever it is. But someone who doesn't learn from that, they will constantly be punished. And this is a foolish endeavor. What's the point of continuing in your ways if there's always punishment? You'll never learn, and you'll never grow. And moving along a little bit, verse 13, the first half, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. And this is why we have people such as elders or pastors or youth leaders or ministers, where they have taken that knowledge, taken that correction, and now we can go to them and they will give that advice. What comes out of their mouths is something that we can trust, something that we can see as wise, and we know that they have understanding in the situation because they are so knowledgeable, and we can trust that advice. It's so much easier to trust something someone says who has done it before, something that someone says who has studied the matter and knows more about it than us. And this is why accepting correction and treasuring knowledge and seeking understanding is so important, because it's constantly building, constantly getting smarter and smarter, if you will, or wiser and wiser. And it effectively outpours from us just from our words and our lifestyle. Our natural speech, we will be able to find wisdom on it if we have been humble and sought knowledge. And verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So someone who's gone through this, sought knowledge, stored it, not just in one ear, out the other, I know a lot of Sunday school kids, you'll ask them to memorize a verse, and then next week they'll be like, I don't even know what verse it was last week, let alone memorized it. In one ear, out the other. That's not what a wise person's done. But then after all this, after you've learned, a lot of the times you only say what's needed, or you only say what's actually impactful to the person. A lot of times at work, I find, is where I come across it the most, but someone will try to appear knowledgeable on the subject. So they'll spend 5 or 10 minutes explaining something to me or to someone nearby, and I'm just looking around like, does this guy know what he's talking about? He's saying a lot, but I don't know if any of it's actually right or if he's just repeating what someone else said or trying to make himself look good. And oftentimes, someone who's speaking a lot and just going on and on and on, you'll find there are a lot of errors or there are a lot of mistakes, or they're just trying to make themselves look good. And this is where a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, because a lot of times when you talk that much, you also find yourself backpedaling. You say something that you didn't mean, or you say something that you didn't want other people to know, and then you're trying to dig yourself out of that hole. And you're back, oh, no, I said this, but I meant this, or whatnot. And here we have so many verses, there are so many more verses just in chapter 10 about being wise or being foolish. But the main thing that is a theme throughout is a wise person treasures knowledge and applies it and then spreads it as needed. Whereas a fool doesn't really care, doesn't see the worth in learning, doesn't see the worth in bettering him or herself, and doesn't see the worth in trying to lift others up as well through his knowledge and his wisdom. And then the second thing I want to speak on is righteousness and wickedness. Proverbs 10 has many verses that compare a righteous man and a wicked man. So in verse 2, it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. I think this is probably one of the most powerful verses in the entire chapter, because I think of myself and humanity in general as a wicked people. Even the nation of Israel, God's people, was considered wicked oftentimes. And there are so many times where we have faults, and it is made very, very apparent to us that we have been harsh and not gentle, or we have been incorrect and too proud to admit it, or we have been greedy, withholding our tithes or offerings or our cloak from a brother who needs it. And yet, despite that, despite all of our shortcomings, God can see us as righteous because of his Son. God's perfect Son, God's actually righteous Son, who was a man, came down to the earth and died for us so that he could be seen as unrighteous and we could be seen as righteous. And so reading this verse, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. We had wickedness, and we treasured wicked things. Even the most common, I think, is money. We always want more. Or we see in the world, oh, if only I won the lottery. Or I hear at work we have a lottery pool at work that a lot of my coworkers buy into. And my manager always says, oh, I'm just one lottery ticket away from retirement. And it's like, well, that's not exactly going to happen. But, and I mean, he's not even that far away from retirement, which is crazy, but treasures of wickedness, they don't profit anything. In the end, even if he did win that lottery ticket and retire, he doesn't know Christ. In the end, it profits him nothing. It's all lost. It all passes away. But righteousness delivers from death. That's powerful because we have Christ's righteousness delivering us from eternal death. Eternal separation from the life with God, the eternal life with God. And we can call on Jesus' righteousness in our place to save us and deliver us from death. Another verse about righteousness and wickedness is the next one. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. And this isn't necessarily to say, like, the prosperity gospel. If you are a righteous man or woman and you live your life righteously, you will be blessed. Showers and showers of blessings. That's not quite what it's saying. It's saying the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Your soul will be filled. Your soul will be, like it says, when you seek, you will find. And in God, you will be fulfilled. You will find peace. The righteous soul won't famish. It will be fed with the bread of life, as we sang about earlier. But he casts away the desire of the wicked. And that also is pretty powerful because the desires of the wicked, you see a lot of times wicked men in positions of power. It makes the news constantly. Or wicked business leaders that are defrauding companies or embezzling money. And you think to yourself, there are so many people that are exceptionally wealthy that can be considered wicked. And how can this be? But these men always want more. It's never like they find that satisfaction, they find that peace. There's always something more that they can have. It's never satisfying their desires. And that's because their desires don't align with God's. God's desires are for peace and contentment, fellowship and family, whereas the wicked just can't get enough. Moving on a little bit, I have a few more verses comparing wickedness and righteousness. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And once again, this isn't saying the prosperity where you will be made rich if you are righteous. You may end up rich, and God may bless you in that manner, but that's not what it's promising here. But there are so many blessings that we have other than just wealth, such as health, family, friendship, a good community. There are so many things that we can be blessed by God with. Most importantly, his son and salvation. But on the other side, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Nobody listens to a wicked man. Nobody wants to listen to a wicked man. Usually, if you have acquired the title of a wicked man, people try to disassociate themselves from you and distance themselves from you and just try to stay away from you and try to deal with you as little as possible. Which, being social, that can make it very difficult. And I know it's not easy to admit I need to change, but oftentimes when you have that title, it's for a reason. People see you as harmful or violent or unhelpful, whatever it may be. And maybe the last verse that I'm going to talk about, verse 9, flipping over. Better is the one, integrity never has to worry about backing up secrets. Sorry. That is not verse 9. Oh, I'm on one page over, that's why. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. So, talking here, he who walks with integrity walks securely because what is there to know? What is there for him to fall by? I know a lot of times I'll say to someone, the walls have ears, meaning, you never know who's going to overhear, or you never know what you're going to say that someone else is going to find out about. So just watch your tongue, watch what you say. And then the second half of this verse, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Thinking of the news, thinking of all the different things that we've heard about, there's so many times where you think, I can get away with it, or no one's going to find out, so why not? But you can never walk securely with this mindset. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always trying to be exceptionally careful about what you say so that no one finds you out. And eventually, you're going to slip up, and you will be found out, and then there will be consequences. The righteous person walks with confidence. They do not have that burden upon their shoulders constantly because they know, I'm following Christ, and I'm trying to do my best by him. I'm trying to follow his ways, and I'm trying to be a righteous individual. I will screw up. I will accept that correction, and I will move on and learn from it and be better for it. Whereas someone who is constantly trying to get ahead through deceitful means or through wicked ways, eventually someone's going to know, someone's going to find out, and you will be caught. And it won't be pretty. And so thinking of these, thinking of righteousness and wickedness and the qualities, nowhere in Proverbs did it say, be right, or Proverbs 10 at the very least, be righteous or be wicked. Nowhere did it say, be a wise person or be a foolish person. But I think it made it pretty clear which one is better for us. And the rest of the Bible definitely makes it clear which one is better for us. And working backwards a little bit, if you're kind of questioning, am I wise or am I foolish? You can ask yourself, do people listen to my advice, or do people distance themselves from me? Do I accept correction humbly, or when someone tells me I did something wrong, do I scoff at them? You can look at all of these proverbs that say a wise man does this and a foolish man does this and work backwards. Do I do this or that? And kind of deduce for yourself. And hopefully be honest with ourselves. It's not like we are perfect. So we will have faults. And in certain areas, I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned that there's wisdom monetarily or financially, wisdom spiritually, wisdom militarily, wisdom in leadership. And you might be wise in some areas and not, well, maybe lacking understanding or ignorant in others. And if you know this, you can take care not to give advice on things that you don't know about. And that in itself is wise. And then same with righteousness and wickedness. I hope that we would all consider ourselves righteous and that we all would be righteous. But it never hurts to look at Proverbs and say, what does it say a righteous person does, or what does it say a wicked person does? And which one do we line up with most? Which one do our lives line up with most? And not only these qualities, I only talked about those two, but Proverbs talks about many, many, many. And going through, that's kind of what we should be doing as we look at Proverbs. Look at when it says a blank person does this or has this done to them, we should think, well, here are the two options, such as wise or foolish. Here are the two consequences. Which am I, and which does God want me to be? And I hope that we would continuously try to improve and try to seek that knowledge of God so that we can grow to be 80, 90, 101 years old, like Grandma Joey, or 102, and be considered wise or be considered a good servant of God. Lord, thank you for giving us examples of what it is to be righteous and what it is to be wise so that we can avoid wickedness and foolishness and seek after you. Lord, thank you that you've given us your word, which makes it clear what will happen with various qualities that we can be. And I pray, Lord, that we would be humble enough to admit when we're wrong and heed advice, accepting correction where it's due. Lord, I pray that our main desire would be to seek you, to seek knowledge of you, and to grow in you so that everything else will come with it. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, and thank you for loving us when we didn't deserve love. Thank you for that sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen.